You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we're taking a look at the first SENS announcement that we got earlier today, bright and early before markets opened, before anything was said. The very first SENS announcement that came through today was the full year update from Sasol around their performance for the year ended June 2024. Very interesting set of numbers, and I'm joined on the line by the Sasol CEO, Simon Baloyi, to take a look at these numbers and try and make sense of them. Ntate Baloyi, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. Difficult set of numbers to reflect on. Very little of that was under your tenure as CEO, but nonetheless, first loss in 4 years for the business. What are your reflections?
Evening, Jimmy, and evening to your listeners. Yeah, I mean, we've been reflecting on these numbers, but let me just take a quick step back. I mean, at least to try and put some sense into the numbers. So if you look at the business before we go into the re-measurements, I mean, we've been open about the macros that we faced in terms of the lower rent, oil price, and the exchange rate strengthening, also the diesel differentials. But the key one was a weaker, continuing weaker chemical demand, which does impact the chemical prices across our value chains. Those were the macros, but if you look at the controllables, I think strong performance year on year. If you look at year on year, you see volume improvements across the board. So that did allow us to give, and generate a strong EBITDA of 60 billion. So we saw very, very good, even free cash flow generation. Yeah, the first half, a bit tricky because we had minus 6 billion rands. However, in the second half, we turned that around and we ended the year at 8 billion rand positive. That shows the strong cash generation ability of our business. And we're proud of that, and we think it's something we can build on. However, we had to take a re-measurement driven primarily by, our U.S. assets. What did drive this was the differential between the ethane and ethylene prices. We saw the long-term outlook that those margins are going to shrink, and it's impacting the value in use versus the carrying capacity or the book value of that asset. So that came in now at the end of the year, and we took that impairment. However, I just want to reiterate from a management point of view, we're already intervening. We're not looking at this and standing still waiting for the market to respond to help us on this. We're taking our own self-help measures. We started this already in April in terms of, repositioning that business and trying to streamline it, remove duplications, and make sure that we improve focus and collaboration in the business. And we'll take further measures, in terms of our go-to-market strategy in that business. And finally, like I've announced, we will look at some of the assets in terms of an asset review. We continue with that. Asset review is part of what you do, but we'll intensify that to make sure that in that whole value chain, we don't have assets that are not contributing to a cash generation.
Simon, when we look at that energy or the chemicals business, we'll come to the energy business in a second. That's another story. The chemicals business hasn't been without challenges ever since you kind of announced that you were going this route or entering into the space. I wonder, from an asset base or from an asset perspective, has the conversation come up to say, maybe as part of the learnings, we should no longer be invested in this business? Maybe we should look to make different decisions around possibly even disposing of this business?
The business itself, Jim, if you look at it, is actually a very business with sound fundamentals. What we need to do is that if you compare it to our peers, is that the margins that are coming out of there are on the low side. And that is why we're going to take these self-help measures and position it in the mid-pack or the top tier, if possible, in the long term. Because if you do that, you'll generate significant value from that business. So if I look at the assets, all of it globally, it's a great asset in terms of what we have in Eurasia, what we have in the U.S. In U.S., you have an advantage feedstock. You've got a world-class asset that can give you cost advantages. In Europe, we have businesses that are close to where our customers are. So these businesses can give us value. However, we need to intervene in terms of the measures that we need to take, and we'll come with all of those measures and the measurables in the market to make sure that we can generate value out of those assets.
Simon, when we look at some of the other impairments, there were just under 57 billion rands of impairments for the year, and you obviously mentioned that the US project was a big part of that. What were some of the other impairments that we can go through in brief?
Yeah, the other impairment that comes through, you saw the Chemicals Africa, but this was mainly related to the wax asset and the cyanide asset in Sasolburg, the ethylene as well, but those were primarily driven by pricing because we're seeing weak pricing on those value chains. In Secunda, we also continue to impair the SINREF, only the refinery part, CGU. However, if you look at the entire Secunda complex, it's got significant headroom, so you won't see any of the chemicals value chains there being impaired. And you remember in Secunda, those are so intertwined between chemicals and the refinery portion of the CGU. So that's where I think the top impairments came from.
Simon, I want to move to the debt that sits on the balance sheet. A net debt of just over 73 billion rand. That's not a small amount. What's the plan there around tackling that debt? Perhaps re-looking at what's happening with the debt? Is it increasing at this stage, or is it kind of under control and you have a plan for it?
Yeah, that debt has remained fairly flat. I mean, if you look year on year, I mean, in dollar terms, we're hovering around the $4 billion. However, you've seen us intervene in terms of changing the dividend policy to allow us to start tackling that debt, because our previous mechanism of declaring dividend was the core headline earnings and per share. And what that did is that it made it possible to pay debt to pay the dividend from debt. So what we're doing now, We've revised our dividend policy and framework where we're going to pay the dividends from free cash flow. So this will then allow us to first generate cash. Once we have cash, we have to do sustenance. And after that, you'll have cash available to then pay dividends, start paying down the debt, and also consider growth. So we like this framework. We think this framework will allow us to intensify the focus on debt and start driving that down.
I was actually going to follow that up with that dividend question around moving away from policy and actually proposing a new policy. But I suppose it's a prudent approach from a management perspective to say we need to make smarter decisions in the short term so that the long term is better. Simon, let's reflect on that energy business. Absolutely performing as expected, in line with expectations. And for the listeners out there that aren't too clued up, I mean, the Secunda business was your baby for the longest time, and it's nice to see that business still coming through, still adding to the balance sheet as it's supposed to. Take me through the energy operations of the group and how you're reflecting on that portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, you see between, I mean, our fuels and Chemicals Africa, which is primarily driven by the Secunda business, you're generating, I mean, almost 42 billion rand EBITDA. So that's a very, very strong performance. In terms of volume performance, we're still sitting between the 7 and 7.2 million tons coming out of Secunda, which, of course, does drive the performance of the liquid fuels and the Chemicals Africa business. So we're happy about it, but this business is not at full potential. We think we can extract more from it because we know that this business can produce around 7.5 million tons, and that's where my focus is going to be with the Sasol team to make sure, I mean, in the midterm, we intensify our focus to maximize the cash generation of that business. I mean, it's doing very well, but I think it can do more, and we'll make sure that it does do more in the midterm.
Always pushing for better, always pushing for more. We wish you the best of luck into the new year. Look forward to catching up with you in the next 6 months or in the next quarter, depending on when you have news for us. But we'll leave it at that for now. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Simon Baloyi, CEO at Sasol, on their full year's results for the year ended June 2024.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.